Today's show is sponsored by Datadog. Start monitoring EC2, RDS, ECS, and all your other AWS services in minutes with Datadog. Whether you have 10 instances or 10,000, Datadog automatically tracks hosts as you scale. Visualize metrics, automatically alert on anomalies, and collaborate across teams to quickly troubleshoot issues before they escalate. Give it a try with a free 14-day trial by visiting datadog.com/cloudcast, and Datadog will send you a comfy, complimentary t-shirt. That's datadog.com/cloudcast.
Cloudcast Media presents from the massive studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is The Cloudcast with Aaron Delp and Brian Gracely, bringing you the best of cloud computing from around the world.
Good morning, good evening, whoever you are, and welcome back to the podcast. We're coming to you live from the massive Cloudcast studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hope everyone is staying safe, staying healthy. I, for one, it's been interesting. Over the last couple months, I now haven't traveled in probably the longest point in my career, and really interesting to see how quickly I adjusted to not traveling, but I also admit at this point, feeling a little cooped up. I don't know about y'all. With that, we're going to jump straight into Cloud News of the Week. First of all, we have a really interesting data warehouse benchmark with the Snowflake IPO recently. And first of all, congrats to the Snowflake folks out there. But Fivetran data warehousing benchmark that it compares a number of issues or a number of factors here, price, performance, and also some differentiated features between Redshift, Snowflake, BigQuery, and Presto. And so if you're interested, we'll have a link in the show notes to go take a look at that. But it is interesting also to see where the results have gone over time and what are the trends over time. And to be very honest with you, how others have emulated Snowflake in many ways over the years as well. So again, go take a look at that. Links in the report. Very, very fascinating read. And moving on to our second story. Second story is about Pure Storage. And Pure Storage did an acquisition, a pretty nice acquisition, actually. Portworx. If you're not familiar with Portworx, is cloud native storage and data management platform based off of Kubernetes, of course, because, you know, what isn't these days, but for $370 million cash. So first of all, congrats to the Portworx folks as well out there. But Portworx is really nice in that had a really good stable of well-known logos that were out there. GE Digital, Comcast, Kroger, Lufthansa, T-Mobile, etc. And they were all about creating a storage layer to allow developers to really access data no matter where it resides. Really, really good acquisition, really good pickup. I've heard really great things about this through the industry, and congrats to Pure Storage. And closing out cloud news this week, we have Azure story. It seems like, when it's my week for the news, I seem to always get an Azure story. And, a lot of the ones I've covered were along 5G and some of these other, kind of alternate transmission mediums, if you will. And now they're getting into the satellite business as well. So Azure Orbital, which is in preview right now, but if you are in the business for satellite communications and satellite ground stations and scheduling service, you definitely want to go take a look at this. This seems to be one of those things. I would love to see the use cases here and the customers that have a need for this. But it's also really awesome to see the Azure team really branching out into all of these different transmission areas. I'm really, really excited about this. And, I would love to see a session on this in the near future as well. And so with that, we're going to close out cloud news this week and on to the main segment.
Today's show is sponsored by Cloud Academy. Listen up, y'all. This is a great offer. With everyone using the same cloud platforms, winning and losing comes down to having the best talent to build products better and faster. Cloud Academy is the training platform of choice for Fortune 500 companies and thousands of tech professionals around the world. Thousands of video courses, learning paths, practical hands-on labs in real-world cloud environments, Cloud Academy has tools designed to help teams assess, build, and validate critical cloud skills. Most importantly, Cloud Academy stays agile, challenging you with new content, labs, and tons of features that ensure your skills stay relevant and everyone can level up. They cover everything from cloud certifications to DevOps to security to programming languages. You can get started now at cloudacademy.com. For a limited time, Cloudcast listeners can lock in 50% off the monthly price for life. Just put in the coupon code CLOUDCAST at checkout. It's a great way to pursue certifications or just build cloud expertise. Again, that's cloudacademy.com and use the coupon code CLOUDCAST to lock in 50% off the monthly price. Today's show is sponsored by DivvyCloud. DivvyCloud protects cloud and container environments from policy violations, threats, IAM challenges, and misconfigurations. Types of misconfigurations that have cost enterprises a jaw-dropping $5 trillion over the last 2 years. DivvyCloud provides continuous security and compliance across all cloud service providers and containers, including AWS, GCP, Azure, Alibaba, and Kubernetes, providing a comprehensive view of what's in your cloud, along with the tools and automation you need to manage it today. DivvyCloud is proving that security and innovation are not mutually exclusive, one customer at a time. Join innovative enterprises like Spotify, Fannie Mae, and Discovery, who have found the freedom to innovate securely without loss of control. To learn more, visit divvycloud.com/cloudcast. That's divvycloud.com/cloudcast to sign up for a free trial. DivvyCloud, find your freedom to innovate.
And we're back. Just Aaron this week, and we're going to be really digging into logging and incident management, as well as SIEM. But to talk about that a little bit, we have Ariel Assaraf, CEO at CoreLogix. Ariel, how are you doing, first of all, and give everyone a quick introduction, please.
Hi, Aaron. Thank you very much. My name is Ariel. Like you mentioned, I'm the CEO of CoreLogix. Started my career at the Israeli Intelligence Unit, later on Verint, then founded CoreLogix about 5.5 years ago. The idea behind CoreLogix was initially to simplify all the tough processes of analyzing log data. So a lot of companies at the moment are storing a lot of log data from many different components. And the main goal for them is to aggregate everything to search, visualize, and alert. And we opened CoreLogix 5.5 years ago to automatically identify issues. So to help people understand exactly what to search, when to search, where to search. These were the big questions that most users couldn't answer. And with time, we heard about more and more needs from the DevOps teams regarding monitoring and seeing, and started evolving the company in those directions to a full platform now.
Fantastic. And let's kind of talk a little bit about the security side for just a bit, because, you know, I feel like it is a little bit newer on the scene, first of all. And the acronym here is, you know, security information and event management, but the concept obviously isn't new, but this combination of a few different security trends probably is. And so explain to everyone your thoughts on this evolution of, you know, where we started in logging and incident management, and then we kind of grew into this, and then we kind of combined some things all at the same time as well.
So it's an interesting question, because SIEM is going through many of the processes that standard monitoring went through. So you have three generations of SIEM products these days. The first generation was about collecting all the logs from different devices, applications, systems, security tools. So whether it's your antivirus systems or routers, just wanted to collect everything to a single point where you can search and then make your own correlations to figure out whether something's happening in your environment. And then the second generation was about more volume. So big data handling, visualizations, alerting, because as environments scaled, there was a big need for powerful tools that will handle the massive amounts of data. And in around 2017, I think it was Gartner that actually coined this, came the third generation of SIEM products. That combine the traditional SIEM capabilities with a couple more technologies. One of them is something called UEBA, which is user behavioral analytics, basically understanding user behaviors and then tying them up to suspicious activities. And the whole world of orchestration and incident response came into scene. So now you not only collect the data to a single place, it's not just like the eyes on glass play, but you also are able to handle incidents during an event using workflows or other runbooks that you can define in your SOAR. It's called SOAR. So these are the three generations. It's very similar to what we've been through in monitoring. So at the beginning, it was all about log aggregation. Let's just collect everything from anywhere. And then masses of logs came from, evolvements like microservices and cloud, which helped smaller companies scale. And then the third generation of logging came trying to automatically identify issues, tying them up to incidents, allowing people to manage things or run books or automate actions based on monitoring events. And this is exactly where the two worlds collide. And we're seeing today most of the vendors are getting into this combination of operation data, application data, and security.
And Ariel, what are some of the, I'm always interested in the why behind all of this and kind of the benefits of all of this. What are some of the primary use cases you've seen at CoreLogic as, the customer base has grown? And a little bit of, I'll kind of dig more into the behind the scenes and why it works. But, let's start with primary use cases and benefits to get started.
Yeah, so this is interesting since when we started, we actually felt the market and where it's going because we started very strong on the anomaly detection part. When the company started, it was mainly a log analytics anomaly detection tool. So we would plug to other tools and try to extract interesting anomalies. And that didn't go too well because the market was still in the phase of just wanting to get everything in a single place to visualize it. And so with time, we saw that the use cases are getting more from a postmortem tool, which is where you basically go after you see an alert from another source. And another source for alert might be your APM or your monitoring tools or your customers complaining. So people looked at log data as a way to debug and drill down into incidents that they were already aware of. And with time, people understood that, logs being one of the best sources of truth that you have in your organization, many times a leading indicator before the other lagging indicator of performance or customers, they started looking for more advanced solutions. At the beginning, manual alerts and then automatic alerts and then preemptive alerts. With SIEM, again, we're seeing around the same path. So it started, if you look at the main values of SIEM, it started as event correlation. Because, you have so many security products today. You have so many companies closing on so many different angles of your security posture. And all of them generate a lot of data, whether it's your antiviruses or your firewalls or WAFs, it doesn't really matter. You need that way to correlate everything and look at a single stream and say, someone opened up permissions and then opened up a port and then sent a file outside. So you want to have all these together and try to create a story. It's all around, how do I understand the story of an attacker to understand where this attacker is trying to get to and then block that? And then from there, we went to threat intelligence. So trying to automatically understand the different incidents that are happening based on known signatures or known threats or known attacks. So now tools are saying, we already know a bunch of different stories. We already know a bunch of different types of attacks. Let us tell you that and give you an additional, give some more color to the different events that you're seeing in your system. And then we went to alerting. And alerting is, let's actually prevent. Even before that story that we're looking for even starts, let's start understanding what's happening. So if you look at both, again, monitoring and security, these are both contributing eventually to the stability of your system and the integrity of the data that you keep for your customers. And so we're seeing the same involvement and at some point even the same users performing both.
And Ariel, so you know, there was a key statement earlier there. You said, you know, these massive amounts of data, right? And yeah, it's this natural evolution, right? We take everything, we got to put it all in one place. Now that we have it all in one place, we have to start to analyze it. Maybe we can't do it in real time. So eventually we get to real time. So give me a little bit more then about the current state, if you will, and some of the rough edges, if I use that term, or limitations of systems typically. Like, what is a snapshot of today with the, you know, these products as a whole in our industry?
Yeah, when you look at scene today, there are a few main problems. First one is implementation. And it sounds like a small one, but it's one of the biggest problems that we're seeing with many companies. Implementing a scene product the right way requires you to integrate multiple collectors, multiple data sources. You need to standardize their structure. And then you need to make sure everything is pushing data in the right time, in the right stream. And then correlation is a byproduct of that. So this is a very big problem that your scene product is as good as the data that you collect and the way that you structure that data. And then another problem is that most scene tools are today where monitoring tools were a couple of years ago, they're very reactive. So what people tend to do with scene products is that they get an alert from one of the other systems that they're using, whether it's an API security platform or WAF or whatever. And then they go to the scene product and start correlating and understanding what happened, what got them there. So these are two big problems. And the other one, which is many times skipped, is the cost of scene. So cost of scene, if you look at that from an enterprise perspective, it's not a huge deal, but many, many companies, many cloud and born-in-X cloud companies, they have limitations on the amount of data that they can digest. So even before you start the smart analytics, you want to get everything inside, and that costs a lot of money. And then what companies do, like a typical good sizer would tell you, you need to figure out what it is that you're monitoring. And basically, they compromise on some of the areas in their environment that are not critical to them, but an attack can come from anywhere. So you have collection integration, and then you have coverage that is missing. And now when you look at the next generation with the ability to understand user behavior and then tie it up to incidents, it is still lacking the ability to identify the unpredicted events. So it's mainly based on signatures, known attacks, and known patterns. But what happens when there's an attack that wasn't seen before, or a new signature that is not fed to your system yet? And many times the bigger companies that have more to lose are the first ones to experience such attack. And when you look at a single component all the time, when you're trying to pick up data from different components and try to identify 4, 5, 6 alerts and push them into an incident or try to create a story, many times you miss the global anomalies, which is a term that we use here, that are things that happen across a long a period of time where a smart attacker is very patient. He basically sets the ground for an attack that you wouldn't be able to prevent that quick. And then you're wanting a stronger correlation of what happens today. You want to give a story that didn't start today, but actually say something like, 90 days ago, a compromised key helped someone get in your environment, that someone installed something on that environment that helped him pull data. And then he granted permissions to other people. And then with time, he gained more and more control over your environment up to the point where he can actually lock you out of that. And only then the attack started. So now a lot of people are blind, and attackers, they're smart. You know, if you look at compliances, they ask you to keep 90 days of audit data to actually analyze things that are long-term. Most of the attackers just say, let's wait over 90 days, let's wait over 6 months from their first action. So when they start to actually make damage, you're not even aware of where it came from. And these are things that require both understanding that something happened and that a flow is starting to form even before there's an event, and also correlating events on a longer period of time than the classic anomaly detection that is based on hours or maximum days.
Yeah, that's super helpful. And let's talk about the future and industry trends for a little bit as well. So I think of, there's two big trends in the industry right now. One of them being serverless, and the other one being this migration towards as a service offerings, right? And how does either of these, because, you know, at the end of the day, you're not necessarily operating things anymore, or certainly you're operating a minimal amount of infrastructure. So what happens in these kinds of areas? Like, what's left to monitor for incidents at that point?
That's a very good question. So first of all, when you're using a lot of tools that are used as a service and you have less control of what's happening there, there is a whole industry of third-party assessment. That industry allows you to assess your third parties and know that they're at least standing in the standards that you require for your companies, whether it's compliance and other formal things, or actually, you know, scanning their environments to figure out whether something is happening there. And when it comes to, great companies that I can mention in the third-party scanning arena is a company like Panarase, where you simply name a vendor that you're using and you get a full report of his abilities to serve your company in terms of security. And then in serverless, you don't have the same control that you used to have, right? You know, you can't mirror traffic anymore. You don't have control over the machine, but what you do have is logs, which is great, because when you print those logs and again, standardize them, visualize them correctly, you can get a very nice view into what's happening in your serverless environments. And any function that you launch has to start from your own environment. So again, it's a story that happened. So someone is getting access to your environment, setting up a new function, running something, and then you get the output of that function and connect it all the way to the access and the privilege that was gained by that attacker. And then you can prevent damage to your organization. One of the big things that we tell our customers many times is that when you have an attack, like the classic response by many people would be to cut down communications, stop everything, and then start rotating keys like crazy and restarting servers. But a lot of the times, the right thing to do is actually freeze the situation and start looking and examining the behavior of an attacker so you can understand where he's going. Unless obviously something's already starting to get to make damage, but if you have a proper security solution set, then you should be ahead of that. And actually examine his behavior, understand where he's trying to get, and then quietly start closing on this. So exactly the way that an attacker is building his strategy slowly within your environment, you want to close down on that attacker slowly. And then connecting the data from your serverless computers, from third parties that might also, by the way, expose their logs. So for instance, if you use Okta for your SSO login, you can get audit logs from Okta and then correlate them with suspicious behaviors that happen in your system. And then when you have that story, that's where you start closing down the attacker and basically disconnecting them from your environment.
And Ariel, to take it maybe even one step further in the trends direction here, I could see AI and ML coming into play here, but I could also see it being a problem as well. And let me tell you what I mean by that. So, you know, when anytime we talk about a lot of data and kind of finding needles in the haystack, you know, a properly trained model could I think, be very beneficial there. But then when it comes to your point, the finding trends or you know, determining human behavior and you know, maybe what's behind that human behavior, maybe that's not a strength unless it's a really, really good model. And so what advancements or trends do you see in AI and ML in both the logging space as well as the security management space?
Yeah, that's by the way, a great point. And we had an epiphany about a year ago about the need of anomaly detection. One of the things that people don't like in tools that they use is anomaly detection that make you feel stressed or make you feel stupid, basically, because you get an anomaly out of nowhere without any context. And you're trying to figure out, you obviously something's, you know, might be wrong. Either if it's operations or security, and if you ask any security analyst, 90% of the time is going to determining if things are relevant or not. And what we see as a main trend is the world of global anomalies. So if you look at an algorithm called, for instance, Numenta allows you to identify global anomalies that are basically scores of many different anomalies that you prepare as semantic, that you detect on semantic data. So for instance, you can give scores to bad DNS responses, and you can give scores to malicious API calls, and then you can give scores to permission changes and so on and so forth. And only when the global score is reaching a certain level, this is where you hit your threshold. So no more point anomalies that give you that basically put the flashlight on the tiny point that looks bad, but most of the time create more noise than anything. But actually, global anomalies that discover that story that we talked about. So those global anomalies are able to discover stories that were not created before, or scenarios that were of attacks that were not created before, but they're a combination of many suspicious events that happened on a period of time that made you think that something's wrong. You know, you can compare that to real life. If you get back to your home and you know, after a day of work, and the door's open, that's just one thing. You don't necessarily get panicked by that, but then you see that something is not exactly where you put it, so now you're even more suspicious. Then you go and you see the window open, now you're even more suspicious. So if you try to think of this like the human brain translates these type of little suspicious behaviors into one big picture, this is, I think, where algorithms are going. But even though there's a lot of advancements there and a lot of great things in the future in terms of identifying those global anomalies, I think that any company that knows scenarios or knows signatures that they want to be aware or careful of, they should have them predefined. So most good SIEM products actually have all those scenarios set. And then whether it's a new attack or a known attack, you should be informed. When you look at DevOps, again, it's a lot the same. So there's a bunch of predefined alerts that any good solution is capable of giving you. But then the part of anomaly detection, whether it's correlating matrix together with traces, together with logs, or whether it's automatically figuring out trends of errors or broken flows of logs, these are capabilities that are complementary to alerts that you already defined or predefined alerts that you get based on the knowledge that the vendor that you're using already has.
Nice, nice. That's a fantastic summary. And actually, due to kind of the time we have here today, we're going to stop there. I think that was just a fantastic summary. And thank you for kind of walking us through kind of where the industry started and the evolution and where we're potentially going to go next as well. So Ariel, where can everyone find out more about you, more about the company, and everything that's kind of coming up?
If you go to CoreLogix.com, we're very proud of our chat response time. So this is something that we've been doing ever since we were an 8-people company. We were committed to 24/7 under 1 minute response time. So in early days, it took 20 hours of my day. So now that we're a bigger company, it's easier. So whenever you have any questions, whether it's just basically about the trends, and we have a blog that is full of tons of information, or CoreLogix, or where we see things going in the future of Seam and logs, just hit us on the chat and someone will answer. And you can always send an email to ariel@CoreLogix.com if you want to contact me directly.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time this week. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll talk to everyone next week.
Thank you for listening to The Cloudcast. Please visit thecloudcast.net to find more shows, show notes, videos, and everything social media.